Well, dear friends, it is a particular joy to be with you in New Buildings this Lord's Day morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity to come along and to share a little from the Word of God, and also to bring a short report regarding the Lord's work amongst His ancient people. Many of you will remember that the Society for Distributing Hebrew Scriptures reaches out to the Jewish people with the precious Word of Life, the Word that came to us through them. It is a debt of love and gratitude that we owe them. And the Lord is marvellously at work amongst His ancient people in these days. It's good to renew fellowship with you this morning, and in particular our dear brother Jonathan. It's lovely to see him again, and we trust that the Lord will bless him here in this place where He has sent him. I want to turn to the Word just for a short moment or two in Psalm 132. Psalm 132. And commencing to read at verse 1. Psalm 132 and verse 1. Lord, remember David in all his afflictions, how he sware unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes, or slumber to mine eyelids, until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. May the Lord be pleased indeed to bless the reading of His most precious Word to our hearts this morning again. In Psalm 132 and verse 5, we read of David's great desire to find out a place for the Lord. We live in a world that sadly has no place for the Lord. He has been cast out. Heaven has received Him. He is given that supreme place in heaven at God's right hand, as we've been hearing. But this morning our Lord is now rejected, and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected, and by the few enthroned. And David was a man here after God's own heart, and he longed to find that place for the Lord. And I wonder in my heart this morning, as we come together to worship, and in yours, is that the desire of our hearts, that He should have the preeminent place there in the scene where He is still rejected? I often think of Mary Magdalene, and I can never help thinking of it on a Lord's Day morning, where she come that first day of the week and it was still dark. And we look at this world and it's most certainly still dark this morning. And she came and she just had one object before her, and it was Him. She desired to see Him. And of course she thought she was coming to see His body. But praise the Lord, it was a risen Saviour that you saw. And that is our object even this morning. And as we come together, it's the Lord has promised His presence. Whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And this little place this morning is a place for the Lord, where His own gather together, where He has the preeminent place. We see in David a wonderful type of this in himself. You remember when David was being pursued by Saul, and he was yet an outcast, and yet he was the Lord's anointed one. And David was at the cave Adullam, and it says in 1 Samuel chapter 22 there that David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. What a wonderful type we have. What a wonderful shadow, even in David, we have of our Lord Jesus, the rejected one, everybody that was discontent, and surely sin, it made us discontent. It never satisfied our souls. We longed for the next thrill, which was never enough, but only Christ can satisfy. And they longed to be with him. What was the attraction of the cave of Adullam? It was only an old, empty, dank, dump cave. The Lord's anointed was there. That was the attraction. And dear friends, this is a lovely building this morning. It's a beautiful building. But it doesn't matter whether it's fallen down about our feet. If the Lord's here, that's the only thing that matters. Whether two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. When we think, dear friends, of a place for the Lord, we don't really think of a building. We think of a habitation of God through the Spirit. Those that are His, He seeks to dwell with those who give Him the preeminent place. We think of the little family in Bethany. In Luke chapter 10, where the Lord was rejected primarily by His own, of course. And He comes to Bethany, and there was a certain woman named Martha who received Him into her home. And surely it's lovely to come together and that He should have the preeminent place, but it's important that He should also be received into our home. That He should have the preeminent place in our home. Is it a place for the Lord? When we think of the place that He took the place of a homeless stranger. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. A stranger is someone you don't know. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. And He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And as I've said many times, especially representing this work, it's one thing to be rejected by your own, by strangers, but it's another thing to be rejected by your own. How it must have hurt Him. How it must have pained His heart to be rejected by His own. He took the place of submission. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He took that lowly place, that humble place. Paul says in Romans that even Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Even as a boy He was subject. He submitted Himself to Mary and Joseph. When you think of it, beloved, that He went down with them into Nazareth and was subject unto them. He who made the starry skies was subject to a Hebrew maid and a carpenter. What wondrous grace is this? And yet He did it. He did it because He loved us. He took the place of suffering. Peter tells us Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. You think of the place that He took. He took the place of a substitute. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He took the guilty sinner's place and suffered in His stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. But when we think this morning that we should be giving Him that place, the place that the world doesn't give Him, the place of lordship, the place that is His by sovereign right, we think of the place that He took, the place of a stranger, the place of submission, the place of suffering, the place of a substitute. But when we think this morning of the place that God has given Him, we've been thinking about it already in our brother's little talk to the children, a place at God's right hand. You know, when God raised him from the dead, he set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, both in this world and that which is to come. No one's higher than him. God has set him at his own right hand. It's the place of power and authority. And this morning, he's there for us. It is the place of priesthood. He is at God's right hand now to appear in the presence of God for us. There's a man in the glory this morning, and he wears the marks of our redemption, and he ever liveth. Hallelujah. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knew what it was to be weary. He knew what it was to weep. He knew what it was to be rejected. Every time you go with a little tract to someone and they turn you away, he knew what it was. First of all, he's trodden the way before. It's the place also, of course, of infinite pleasure at God's right hand. The psalmist says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." This was surely the joy that was set before him when he endured the cross, when he despised the shame, and now sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. I trust in my heart this morning and in yours, there's a place for the Lord where he is exalted even in our own lives, in our own hearts, that our affections are towards him. And we think of that little scene in Bethany where Mary came and she broke that alabaster box of ointment, very precious. And the scripture says that every drop of it went on Christ. He had the preeminent place. No doubt there were others there. Lazarus was there, whom he had raised from the dead. Yet not a drop of it went on Lazarus. Everything on Christ. But Lazarus came into the good of it, didn't he? All those that were in the house came into the good of it. The odor filled the house. And if our hearts have given him the preeminent place, then it will affect everybody. All that we come into contact with. Now, if you just give me a wee second, we'll switch this on and show you something of the work. Thank you. Friends, I'm hoping you can see this from where you are. If you can't, well, perhaps you could move. We'll make it a bit easier for you. Of course, we've said already that the society reaches out to the dear Jewish people with the precious word of life, and I know you're familiar with that. When you think of a verse like this from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 8, that chapter that we know so well, especially around Christmas time, where we have those lovely words concerning our Lord Jesus, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." If you read a little bit down the chapter, you'll come to this verse. "The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel." When you think of the word, of course, you think of the Bible, you think of the word of God. And when you think of the word, you think of the Lord Jesus, as he is described in John's Gospel. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Lord sent a word into Jacob." He sent both his written word and his living word, our Lord Jesus Christ. Both came via the same people. Unto them, Paul says, were committed the oracles of God. And also concerning the Lord Jesus, he took upon him not the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham. He came unto his own. We think that his own received him not. And sadly, that is still the condition of the nation of Israel. at this time, a veil has fallen over the heart of the Jewish people. And nationally, Israel is blind. It's for a season. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's a lovely until in that verse. It's a period of blindness. One day they will see, a remnant will look upon him whom they have pierced and mourn for him as they mourn for their only son. But we read here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15 that even unto this day when Moses is read, that veil is upon their heart. And of course that veil hides him from their view. Salvation is found in the Lord Jesus. It's found in a person. Neither is there salvation in any other. And sadly, even though many Jewish people are very intellectual, and when they come to the Word of God, they're studious in many ways, yet there is a veil upon their heart that hides him from their view. These are the scriptures that we produced, and I know I've probably shown you this many times. But just to remind you again, this is what we do. This is the Word of God. We don't have anything else, nor do we believe we need anything else. God has promised to bless his good word. My word which goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. These scriptures that are sitting up on the table here are New Testaments, and they're produced in bilingual format. Hebrew on one side of the page, and the language of the country the Jewish person is in on the other side of the page. So we have Hebrew, English, Hebrew, French, Hebrew, Dutch, and so on. 11 different languages. There's also a Tanakh there in Romanian as well. Lying flat here are Tanakhim, or Old Testaments. And we also give Old Testaments, or their own scriptures, to the Jewish people. Many of them have never read the scriptures for themselves. Okay, they hear it read in synagogue if they go to synagogue. But when you talk to Jewish people, especially many of these young people that are now in our province working in the shopping centres back and forward, not so many now sadly, but there were. When you talk to them about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and David, you can see it in their eyes that they're jealous. They're thinking to themselves, how come he knows and I don't? And they're not familiar with their own scriptures. And indeed, that's what it says in Romans chapter 11. We're to provoke them to jealousy. And by that same person, the Lord Jesus. And so we also give them the Tanakhim as well. That's Hebrew, French, Hebrew, Russian, and Hebrew, English, just shown here. We also have CD-ROMs, little discs that you can put into a computer and read. It's all the Word of God. We don't have anything else but the Word of God. Our little booklets are not our opinion. They're the Word of God again. The prophecies of the Old Testament and the fulfillment in the Lord Jesus. Therefore, beloved, we can stand over what we give. No one can come back to us and say, you said this, you said that. We just point to God's Word. This is what God says. You know, if people want to argue with that, let them argue with it. The Word of God stands forever true. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Sadly, we live in very dark days. And at the beginning of this year, there was a particular outpouring of anti-Semitic fervor. Many groups opposed to Israel and the Jewish people seemed to crawl out of the woodwork and were very evident, because when Israel went into Gaza in pursuit of Hamas, many voices were raised against them. And that resulted in individual Jewish people, in many instances, being attacked and property being attacked. And it's a little precursor, I believe, to what will happen in the future and maybe the near future. This is a synagogue, I believe, in London. And it was in January this year. It's not 1944 in Germany. This is January this year. And somebody broke in and painted these horrible things, swastikas, as if they needed to be reminded of what happened. And this also is in London, and you can see the evidence of a Jewish grave yard being desecrated. And A very sad sight. This is one of the protests, anti-Israeli protests that were ongoing at that time. It says, if you can't read it, it says, "May Allah make a mushroom cloud over Israel." And we know what that means. Many people think that Islam wants some sort of reconciliation with the Jewish people. Let me tell you, Islam wants the destruction of the Jewish people. This is our headquarters in Hitchin in North London. At the beginning of the year, it could have been towards the end of the year actually, that the building was slightly damaged and a number of windows were broken. And we believe at that time that those who did this thought that this was a Jewish-owned building, because we're the Society for Distributing Hebrew Scriptures, and the building is called Joseph House. So put two and two together, somebody's made five and damaged the building. And though it's been repaired and it's not that much, but it gives us a little flavour of what it is to be Jewish and how they must feel. This is a dear brother who works in the building on a regular basis. His name is Tim Dawson, and Tim would send the scriptures out to Jewish people regularly and some to individuals. And it's important how you deal with that. We're dealing with a book that really they don't want, the New Testament. And yet, something's prompted their hearts to write for this New Testament. And how Tim deals with that's important. It's important even how you package things, how things appear. Especially when dealing to Jewish people. We're handling God's Word. And we must show that we believe the New Testament is the Word of God. They don't accept that. But how we handle it is important. It's our dear sister, Roberta Collins. And Roberta is here working in the office. She's very busy. If you get our wee magazine Lamp and Light, you will know that Roberta and Joy Browning go door to door with the scriptures in London. And that's not easy work. We just pray for them that the Lord will indeed give them those words that are necessary when they come to a Jewish door, and that they may show something of the person of Christ. And that's the same with all of us, of course. That men and women may take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus. And it's so vitally important that they approach Jewish people in the right way. And Roberta's busy here in the office. She does door-to-door, but she also works in this, which is a Hebrew-Hungarian Old Testament. At the moment we're producing, it's almost finished. And we believe that many, many Hungarian Jews will receive this Old Testament and also the New Testament when it's finished. This is a town in Israel called Sderot, and it's quite near Gaza. It's about 2 miles from Gaza. And this is the most missiled town in Israel. Many thousands of missiles have fallen in this town over the last 9 years or so. There have been many scenes like this. Sadly, nobody protested on the streets about that. The world tends to have blinkers on when it comes to Israel. This dear girl came to our home last year, and her name is April, and she comes from Sderot. And she came to our home selling paintings. I'm sure some of you have had this. They've been all over the place. Not so many now, as I've said. And there's a reason for that. But this girl came last year, and she told us immediately. Of course, we brought her in immediately. We knew she was from Israel, and we talked to her for a long time. I won't go into a lot of detail. We don't have time this morning, but we had a lovely time with her. But she told us that her house was hit by a missile in June last year, 2008. And the missile failed to explode. And she said, we were preserved, or we were saved. And it gave us a little opportunity, of course, to speak about a greater salvation. It was a salvation, of course. She was saved. She was preserved. But there is a greater salvation. An eternal salvation to be found in the Lord Jesus. And we just talked to her quietly about the Lord, as simply as we could, and just entered him into the conversation where we could. And I went upstairs and got a set of scriptures and came down and showed them to her. And of course she was absolutely amazed, number one, that I had the Hebrew scriptures, and number two, that I was giving them to her free. She couldn't quite believe it. And she took the word of God,
both Old and New Testament. Immediately she got it, she took her Star of David off and gave it to my wife. Suzanne said, no, I can't take your Star of David, no. Well, she said, you must take it or I'm not taking these. That's just the way they operate. So she took the Word of God. So please just pray for April. There are many who have come to believers' homes in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland and all over the UK. We don't know if that's about to come to an end. We pray it's not, because it's been a wonderful opportunity to reach them. This is the Jerusalem International Book Fair, which has taken place every 2 years since 1963. In Jerusalem, of course. And in 1993, the Society got an invitation to this book fair. We produce the New Testament and offer it to Jewish people free of charge. It's a book that they have opposed for centuries. And yet, the Lord has opened a wonderful door for us to bring this book, His Word, which came to us through them, back to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. And this was this year, in February, as you can see. And I just want to show one or two. Sorry, I'm going back to 2007 here. This dear man came in 2007 and told us that he had got a New Testament in 2005 and had read it secretly at home and had come to faith in the Lord Jesus as he read the Scriptures. And this is the power of the Word of God. I know we know this, but we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded over and over again that it's the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not the Word of man. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, listen, Timothy, preach the Word. It's this that's going to make the difference. And this wee man at home, just by himself, and it's often been said, and rightly said, that when you open this book, the author is present. And that is true. This is God's Word. This is where the Scriptures are stored, in a flat in Tiberias. You can see that there's sort of a little area here. I'm not sure if it's an annex or just another room where they store the Scriptures. I've actually been in this flat, but I don't remember from this angle, to be honest. This is the stand that they had this year, and so it just does your heart good to see the Word of God so openly displayed in the middle of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord for it. This is the man who opened the book fair this year, and he's done it other years as well, Shimon Peres. He's the president of Israel, and he referred to this verse in Isaiah 2 and verse 3. I think it's the first time he has ever made reference to the Word of God. And he referred to this verse from Isaiah chapter 2 and 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And I believe those days are yet future concerning Israel. People are not saying, let us come, let us go and go up today. But it's a wonderful word even for the society, even that day, because the word of the Lord was going out from Jerusalem that day. Praise the Lord. This is one of the first people who came to the stand. His name is Zev Berger, and he is a German-Jewish survivor of the Holocaust. And you meet wonderful people like this. People who have seen terrible things. And yet, sweet people. And, you know, I often think, well, we don't know what they carry about with them. We don't know. All their life they've carried this burden. And yet there is one who has carried our griefs and our burdens, taking them upon himself. There's not a sorrow that he doesn't know. And this man came and took the Word of God, and it's so lovely that this happened. I don't think he's ever been at the stand before, and yet he's the director of the whole book fair. This man here is a modern day scribe. I don't know whether he does it officially. I wasn't there, and I'm only getting this bit second hand. But every day he writes a portion of the Torah meticulously out. Every day he copies a bit of it. I'm not sure whether he does it officially, as I said. But all the time he's in the Word of God. And, you know, we think because these dear men read the Old Testament that they can't be saved. You know, on the Emmaus Road, the Lord began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. As we've said, you know, he didn't open the New Testament because it didn't exist. This man took the scriptures, the New Testament. This is our brother Anton Steer, a Dutch brother that the society works with. This lovely couple here are just married about 2 or 3 weeks, and they come along to the stand, they take the New Testament, praise the Lord, and the little CD-ROM. This dear man that Anton is speaking to, this man, said it was too late for him. It's too late for him to read the New Testament, too late for him to find the Lord in that way. And we pray that it's not, that the Lord will speak on to his heart and that he will bring him to a knowledge of himself. Some people are very, of course, opposed. And this lady here, she said that she had no intention of taking the New Testament. She had a New Testament in her home, and she had it just there, but she would never open it because she thinks it would contaminate her soul. And, we don't know what that's like to feel that way about the Word of God, but of course she doesn't recognize it as such. This is something we do every time, put a little stand around the side of the main stand. The Jewish people may go around the side of it and maybe take the scriptures less obviously, or read the Word of God less obviously. And many scriptures are taken from a little desk around the side, but something's going on here, as you can see. There's like a seminar going on every day, and that was a wonderful tool, believe it or not, because people were coming there, and I think one day it was French Jews, the next day it was Spanish Jews, you know, Jews speaking various languages. Well, we've got all these languages on the stand. And when the seminar broke up, they all came to the stand and could see the New Testament in their own language. So no doubt the Lord had this planned, that many Jewish people may take would take the Word of God in this way. This man came, and he looks as if he's listening to a bit of music, but in fact he read the Word of God for about 15 minutes and went away with it. And many people you think are not interested, but it's like a Sunday school class, isn't it? The one that's climbing up the walls is probably the one who's listening. This dear girl here, this lady, should I say, her mother was hidden by a Dutch family in Holland during the time of the war, and she never forgot it. And when she came to the stand, no doubt she heard Anton on the stand, his voice, and realized he was Dutch. And she had absolutely no objection to taking the New Testament. And maybe she was open in the first place, but certainly that helped, the fact that he was Dutch. When you think of individuals like this, ultra-Orthodox Jews, we know what these people look like, and you think, you know, they're impossible to reach. There's, of course, Jewish people, and you think, well, I can maybe reach them if they live next door to me, or if they're on the stand, the young people. But you think of these people, there's another degree altogether, and I can't speak to those people. And in many ways, that's true, because they will not engage you in conversation. And if they see you coming, they'll move the other way. They just don't want to approach. And they look very peculiar to us, don't they? I mean, you think of an individual like this wearing a big furry hat. It's hardly appropriate for Israel weather. And he's following some rabbi of the past. And you think of them at the wall like this, and it's very sad to see them. And yet here they are at the stand. In 2009, they came to the stand, and it's so wonderful to see it. And this is the Lord's doing. And this is an ultra-Orthodox Jew. It's not just an Orthodox Jew. These are ultra-Orthodox Jews at a stand full of New Testaments. Now, only the Lord can do this. And look at this. This is one of them reading it. We can only praise the Lord for these things. This is not our doing. Can I just rush on a little bit? Remember the young soldiers. This is our brother Geert van der Veen, who works in Israel with his dear wife, Martine. And they reach out to the young Israeli soldiers. And they do so with little discs. And of course, they can take them quickly and put them in their pocket and copy them and pass them on. This is the wonderful use of computer discs. I know the evil one uses them. Of course he does. But we can also use them to spread the word of God. You can see there's another soldier here and so many soldiers at the book fair. And this is a tour guide in Israel. A brother sent me this. He was on one of these tours to Israel and he gave the tour guide a CD. And you can pass the word on like this at these tours. These are some of the stands, of course, that we've reached with the scriptures amongst the young Israelis who are working in our province and also down south as well and in England and Scotland. There are many stories and we don't have time. Why I showed you those two pictures is because they're not Dead Sea products, if you like. We get into our head that they're selling Dead Sea products, but they're not necessarily all Dead Sea products. Some of them are selling these bags and all sorts of things. So it pays to just keep our antennae up. This is Castle Court in Belfast, and we've had lovely opportunities there to reach the Jewish people. There's been about three or four stands of them over the last 4 years, maybe. And we go back and forward, and others have gone as well. Don't think it's only us. Others have gone, many others. These are just some of the young people we have talked to and given the word of God to. We just show you their faces this morning. And some months ago, I spoke to this lad, and he refused the word of God. Something happened at the beginning of the year. In January, I think it was the 18th of January, there was a protest in Belfast. And it was a so-called peace protest. Actually, it was an anti-Israeli protest. Many groups joined it. And at the end of the protest, a certain group left that main group and came into Castle Court and surrounded one of the Israeli stands. Now, this is taken off YouTube. It's somebody took a picture of it on a mobile phone. And they surrounded the stand and they've got Palestinian flags. And I'm not being political here. They give a lot of abuse to the young people. And I thought, well, you know, I'd like to see those young people. And I went to see them. I was doing a meeting in the area and I went to see them. And it was about 6:30 in the evening. And I called in and no doubt the Lord had arranged it because there was hardly anybody in the place. And I went past their stand and of course they're as quick as lightning, you know, trying to sell you something. And they sucked me in, no problem, which I wanted them to do. And I started to talk to them. And I said, you've had some trouble recently. He said, yes. And I said, I just came. I just called in to tell you how sorry we were. And that we love you and pray for you. We love Israel. And they usually say why. And of course we give them the reasons why. Not just a sentimental wishy-washy thing. But from the scriptures. Why we should love the Jewish people. And what has come to us through the Jewish people. And I told them, I said, you know, everything I hold precious has come to me through the Jewish people. The word of God has come to me through the Jewish people. The Lord said to Moses, write in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. That book's the Bible. And I said, not only that, but the Son of God himself has come to me through the Jewish people. And then, well, they always say then, you're a Christian and so on. And it opens a door. And we had the opportunity then to say how sorry we were and so on. And I said, would you like, you know, I brought you something and I brought you a little gift and I showed them the scriptures and they were quite thrilled with the scriptures. And I said, now people are praying for you. And I'm saying that to you this morning. By the way, we believe this is the lad who refused the scriptures in that last slide. And it shows what the Lord does. He brings a certain circumstances and he does so in all of our lives. This is Cork, and we can't really talk about this morning. It's my fault. I've talked too long. And this is we were in Cork a couple of weeks ago doing some meetings. And we were staying in a certain place, and it said this, just on the road. It said, boycott Israel, please. And it shows the spirit that is in the world. And that is reflected in many. Because man views things from the 6 o'clock news. He views it from the Belfast telly. But the believer views it from the scriptures of truth. We get our vision from the Word of God. That's where we're directed. Not by the opinions of men. It's so easy to take the world's side, isn't it? It's so easy to go the way of the world. These are dear friends, David and Susan Ward, and they live in Cork. They're not from Cork, they're from England, but they live in Cork, and they distribute the scriptures to, there's a small Jewish population in Cork, and also there's boats that come in all the time, and many of these tours that come from these very nice liners that come in here, many of them are Jewish. And they have a stock of scriptures and they reach out to them. And this is the way this work goes on. There was a pro-Israeli reception at Stormont in March. And I didn't know it was taking place until fairly late. And a sister that we know was invited to this through her work. It's a long story, but through her work. And I called with her before she went, and she said, there's going to be some Jewish people there, but I don't know if I'll have a chance to pass on the scriptures. She said, actually, the deputy ambassador to Israel, to the UK, is coming. Now, there were a number of politicians, and if I were to mention them, you would know them immediately. And so it was a pro-Israel reception, because they wanted to counter what was happening. And This is a Jewish lord from the House of Lords. He spoke at that particular meeting. But this is our dear sister, Carol. And she had the opportunity to meet the deputy ambassador and to pass on the word of God to her, both Old and New Testament. So please pray that the entrance of God's precious word will bring light in that situation. I think we'd better leave it here. We've gone too far, I think. If you want me to, can take 2 minutes just to talk about 2 minutes. That's all it's going to take. This is Blanchardstown in Dublin, well, the north side of Dublin. We went down between Christmas and New Year to see if we could reach some of the Jewish people in the shopping centres. By the way, we couldn't find any initially. As we were coming out of Blanchardstown, which is the largest shopping centre on the north side, we noticed that. There were Debenhams there, and we thought we'd go into Debenhams and see if there were any there. We couldn't find any. As we were coming down the escalator, Suzanne just spotted this stand. And this young man was on the stand. I went to see him. He completely denied being Israeli. He said, I'm not from Israel, and so on. And to cut a long story short, the reason he was denying it was because there was anti-Israeli protests on O'Connell Street, and he was frightened. And I've met many of these young people, many of them, and they're all bright and bubbly and they're trying to flog you something. But he wasn't like that. He was scared. And we talked to him and told him that we loved him, and the reason we come down was to give him the scriptures. As soon as we showed him the scriptures, the whole thing changed. And he became a lot more willing to talk. So much so that he took the New Testament and he told us where we could find other Israelis. Went into central Dublin, found these young people, spoke to them for a long time, tried to convince them that we weren't down to harm them. They said, we're not from Israel. But eventually they came round. I gave them the scriptures. They were so delighted to have the Word of God, and they wanted their picture taken, especially with the New Testament. That's incredible, really. We talked to them again, and they said, it's so lovely that you produce it with the Hebrew and the English. And I said to them, why do you like the English alongside? And they said, it's the sound. And with that, Suzanne joined us. And I didn't get a chance to ask them what they meant by the sound, but I thought of it. And to be honest, I believe they meant the sound of the authorized version of the scriptures. The reverential sound. The authority of the Word of God. And sadly, so many places, even in our own land, is being thrown out. And I believe we're throwing out our heritage, really. And these young people recognized it. That's the beautiful thing about it. And they said, you'll find more Israelis down there. And we went down to another stand and they weren't selling anything. Actually, it was a hairdressing stand. I've never seen them on a hairdressing stand before. So they're diversifying. You have to be aware of that. Went to the stand and no matter what I said to them, they wouldn't admit they were from Israel. And they said, we're from Spain. Of course, they weren't from Spain. I don't believe they were. They were from Israel because these folks told us they weren't. But when we went into another shopping center, we saw another hairdressing stand and realized they were from Israel. Stood away back and waited until this girl came free. It's not a good picture, but it's taken miles away. And she came free. The place was hiving with people. I was walking towards her, thinking to the Lord, or saying to the Lord, I don't know what to say, Lord. If I say anything about Israel, they'll clam up. And as I approached her, I couldn't think of anything other than shalom to say. I put my hand forward, I said shalom. And she stood there looking at me for what seemed forever. And eventually she put her hand out and said shalom. How did you know? And I didn't tell her how we knew, but I said, look, we've come down especially to see you. We love you. And the reason we came down is to give you a gift. I know it's a little bit past Hanukkah, but we've come with a gift. It's the word of God that has come to us through the Jewish people. I showed her the scriptures. And she took it and immediately she started to read the letter that's inside it. We put a little letter. And I could see that she was emotional. And she did that. And this is her husband. I believe it's her husband. And he came here. He looked over and came towards me. And they were delighted to have the word of God. Just as he was coming, I took the scriptures, the New Testament out. And I said, you may not be so keen to have this. It's the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah. And they held it. And they really did that. They held it. And it was for the first time in my life I believed that these people were actually waiting for me to come. And I believe they are waiting. And we need to get the word of God into their hands. I'm certain from the word of God that sad, terrible times are coming for Israel. And we need to work while it is day, while we have opportunity to reach them. There are many more things, of course, we could show you, but that's not important. The important thing is that you see that the Lord is at work amongst his ancient people. There are those whose hands and hearts are open to receive the word. What better way to reach them than with the word that came to us through them, the word of life. Thank you very much for your patience this morning. If you're interested in the work at all and you would like to get our wee magazine Lamp and Light, there's one just out in the hallway here in the little table. Take one with you, and if you want to leave your name and address, we'll send it to you free of charge. If you want to get the scriptures for a Jewish contact, just come and see me. Thank you. Thanks, Jonathan.